Okay. Daf Dalam and Aleph. In the 10th line. Kohanim Levim v'Yisraelim. So it says Pshita. Lo tzricha da'atika achli kachim. Salkadait chamina v'yachlo samashir kupar bahem amrachman v'ha kaparahi kamashmi chalpsavad amrachman v'ha isnehu. So the Kiddush of, what's the Kiddush Kohanim v'Yisraelim? Even kachim, you might have had a havmin. It's kapara kamashlan v'yachalpsavata applies. So first of all, there's an interesting difference in Girsa. In our Girsa, it says, all it says is, very innocently, Lo tzricha de ka'achli kachim, they're eating kachim. In the Shita Mekubetzes, it brings down an alternative Girsa here, and says, V'chal tzvata v'rach l'ksiv, hani kohanim l'kapar ka'achli. V'chziv yachlu asam asher kupar bahem. Kamash v'chal ta'amar rachmana. So the Shita Mekubetzes, perhaps the most obvious difference between this alternative Girsa and our Girsa is that he has Kohanim eating Kachim, while in our Gemara we just have Dika'achli Kachim. Now, is there significance to that different in Girsa or not? Because we know there is a Machlok, the Rambam, by the way, which Girsa does the Rambam have? L'chora, the Rambam, when he quotes our Gemara in Hilchos Bracha, Perkei, Halacha Vav, says, "Akol chayim birchas azimik, birchas yam, birchas amazon, afilu kohanim she'achlu kachim kachim ba'azara." So he might have had the Girsa of Kohanim in our Gemara. If you look at Rashi, Rashi doesn't say terribly much. But he does say v'hach achilas kachim mishum kapara hu dechsev yachlo shem shem kapara b'hem. So he doesn't say explicitly. This two girsaot might correspond to a well-known machlokas rishonim as to this concept of kohanim ochlin and bailim is kapara. The Gemara doesn't just say here it's a mitzvah of kachim. The Gemara says that when you eat kachim, that completes the kapara of the bailim. To whom does this apply? So the Rambam is very clear in the Sefer Mitzvot. The Rambam, first of all, in Hilchos Ma'aseh Karbano, says it's a mitzvah say for the Kohanim to eat the kachi kachim, like the Chatas and the Asham and the Sherei Menachos, right? Chatas and Asham and Menachos are almost all the kachi kachim. It's a mitzvah for Kohanim to eat the kachi kachim. Likewise, in Sefer Mitzvot, the Rambam says it's a mitzvah say for the Rambam to eat the kachi kachim. He has one mitzvah say to eat Menachos, and one mitzvah say to eat the Chatas and the Asham. He says that this is what gives kapara to the Bailam, and therefore he says this mitzvah only applies to Zichrei Kahuna, because only Zichrei Kahuna can eat Kachim Kachim, and only eating Kachim Kachim is what completes the kapara of the Bailam. And then he says, what about eating Kachim Kalim? What about the Bailam eat their Shlomim, and the Kohanim eat their Truma? You know, it's even less than Kachim. That's also Nigra Achra Mitzvah. Okay, that's like dragged along. There's some aspect of mitzvah to that also, but that's not the real mitzvah, and that doesn't get you kapara. So the Rambam says there's only kapara when Kohanim eat kachim. The Rashi, on the other hand, sounds pretty clearly like he thinks all eating of kachim. Does anyone have the missing volume here? Yes. Rashi sounds pretty clearly like he thinks all eating of kachim is part of this drasha of Kohanim Ochlin Bailim is Kafrim, meaning it was Kohanim in the case of the Miluim. But Kohanim is Lav Davka, because Rashi says in Psachim Daf Nantesam and Aleph, he calls the Bailim eating a Shlomim, he applied the Pasach V'yachlu Osam Asher Kupar V'hem Alma Achilos Kachem Aseihi Bein Nechol Mekohanim Bein Nechol Yisrael. And he says the asev achilus kachim applies to all karbonos, even shlamim, whether they're eaten to the kohanim or whether they're eaten to the bailim. And likewise in chulin daf yud beis and beis, Rashi says, "I'm sorry, I meant yud beis and aleph. That was a typo on the sheet at the top." Says Pesach, there's a mitzvah of achila. That's obvious. Shlamim da amar chlan ve'achlus amashir kavar b'hem. He also says v'lamachek kapara tluya af achila. The kapara depends even on achila. So he's glad that kapara depends on achila even in shlamim, unlike the Rambam. So I saw this in Rav David Soloveitchik, that's the Brisker of Sons shiurim that they wrote up. They said this machlokas might correspond to the two Gersels here, right? If you have the Gersa of the Shikun Betzes Kohanim, that fits with the Rambam, both in Hilchos Brachos when we present our Sugya and in Hilchos Maaseh Karbanos and the Sefer Mitzvahs when we discuss the Kachim in general. There's only kapara when the Kohanim eat, and therefore Kohanim leaving Yisrael means even Kohanim who's eating has kapara. If you have our Gersa, then it could just mean Afilu Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, meaning as a remez the fact that Kohanim Levim Yisraelim each have their own rules and at different times in different places eat kachin. But Afilu Kohanim Levim Yisraelim doesn't mean like only Kohanim. It means even the achila done by Kohanim Levim Yisraelim according to their own rules, where their special place for Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, meaning even Achilas Karbanos, which has kapara, even then you have to bench, and that would correspond to Rashi. Maybe Rashi had our Gersa. Minastam, usually our Gersa corresponds to Rashi, until proven otherwise. To Rashi, Psach and Chulin, who says that Kohanim Oakland by the Miskafrin applies to everything. Okay, so that's a pretty simple hara. Achila. When do we say the achila completes kapara? So Rashi says all achilas kachim. The Rambam says only achilas kohanim bekachi kachim. Right? Meaning, there's some parts that Kohanim get from Kachi Kala, right? Like Bechor and like the Chazei Vishok of Shlomim and the El Nazir. No, those are just the tip to the Kohanim. Those they eat anywhere, those the wives of Kohanim can also eat. That's not Kapar. Kapar is only the Kachi Kachim, which is the Zikri Kahuna, or Kachi Lavo Dubi Karol, you know, even Balimum, have to eat in the Azar. Right? That's more avoda-like. And that corresponds to the Gersa on Aron Sugya Shukmin Gubetzes and the Rambam have Kohanim versus our Gersa, which often corresponds to Rashi, which does not say Kohanim. Okay, seems to have two different ideas about what it means that this idea that Achila completes the Kapara. Rashi seems to say that, look, every Karbon has to be, every Karbon, unduly specific, Rashi seems to assume that every Karbon, something is meant to be done with that Karbon, right? The Shlomim is meant to be eaten, etc. When you do what's meant to be done with that Karbon, that completes the Kapara, because you're finishing the mitzvah of that Karbon. The Rambam assumes no. That is part of the mitzvah, that you have to do what you're supposed to do with the Karbon. But Kapara is only done in a context of Avoda. What is Avoda? It's done by Zichri Kahuna. It is done in the Azara, right? These Kachi Kachi can only be eaten in the Azara. Only when they're doing it in a manner of Avoda, then, and not only that, you would probably say, without getting into the technical phrase, Mishulchan Kavah, Kazachu, we'll come back to this in a little while, when the Kohanim eat the Basar of the Kachi Kachim, they're probably eating more as representatives of Hashem. Right, meaning it's in the Azara, it's done by the Zichrei Kahuna, Minastam, they wear their big kahunas. certainly they can, and they usually did. They're doing it as representative of Hashem. They're sort of taking it on Hashem's behalf, as opposed to the Shlomim, right? When the Bailim eats the Shlomim, it's really his Karban, and even if he gives a part to the Kohen, he's giving a tip to the Kohen. So the Rambam would say there's a fundamental difference between the Achilas Kohanim, the Kachi Kachim, and the, and all the other Achilas. The Kohanim are, they're subbing for the Mizbeach, as it were. They're consuming it for Hashem in their context of Avodah, as opposed to the Shlomim, where, you know, the Bailim eats it. He eats his own, and even if he happens to give a tip to the Kohanim, that doesn't fundamentally change what's going on. The Kachim Kalim are meant to be eaten by the person, and they're partially given to Hashem, and that's why they're Kachim Kalim, because they're meant to be eaten by the people as well, and even parts that give the Kohanim are merely a tip. So that's a famous machlokas. Yes?
Can one say that machlokas about halach and avodah is machlokas about achila? Meaning, since the Kohanim, in essence, are forced to eat,
meaning the Baal are the ones who bring the Karban, it's the Kohanim who are, that's when they're assigned to serve, that's when, so therefore I might have a Havmir that since they're not eating by choice, they're eating by Chiyos, therefore they may not even be a Zimun, Maskon there is.
I hear the Taina, and as what you're saying is maybe the Kohanim here are not, because only the Kohanim is eating leads to Kapara, although that's what the Gemara chooses to state, but because only the Kohanim perhaps are doing it, you know, have less choice in the matter. Only the Kohanim have less choice in the matter. I think it's definitely possible. You can see the Gersa of the Kohanim is because they have less choice in the matter, and because they're less at home with their eating. Not because of the Kapara. Okay, I admit. And let's come back to that in a second. Yeah.
We had thought that they were arguing the definition of a salata. Is it a condition that you have to do or the purpose that you're eating?
Okay, but that's not about the Kohanim versus the non-Kohanim. That's how we got the rest of the Kohanim.
They're not eating today's Mizbuah. They're eating for another purpose, not necessarily Kapara, but not Mizbuah.
Okay, and but the Bible
De facto is the Gemara answers. De facto, they are.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. I think it's going in a similar direction. Let's just understand then the main points of the Gemara. That was a side point. Kohanim word maybe ties into the main point. Clearly, there's some Havamina and Maskana. What's the Havamina of the Gemara? Is that they are Peturim. What are they Peturim from? What does our Gemara seem to say? Well, the Gemara says Zimun. On the other hand, by the beginning of the Gemara sounds like Zimun. The end of the Gemara sounds like Bechalt of Zavata. It sounds like it's talking about Bechalt of Muslim. Right? So that's unclear exactly what the what is really going on here. Oh, correct. Okay, maybe until I tell you something. In Rabbeinu Gershom, it's a little unclear. It depends which edition of the Gemara you have. What does your edition of the Gemara say in Rabbeinu Gershom? Does it say your potter from having is potter from benching or from Zimun?
It has
Zimun in parentheses and it's changed to bracha. Bracha meaning Berachas Hamazon in brackets. You have the Oz V'Hadar. In the Oz V'Hadar, it just says bracha, right? Or it just says Zimun.
Yeah.
Okay, so apparently it's two Gersos and then Gershom. I don't know exactly where each of these Gersos came from is not 100% clear to me. So, I mean, clearly there's two Gersos in the Rebbeinu Gershom, and regardless of which the right Gersos are Rebbeinu Gershom, there are two ways to read the Gemara. You could say that it's talking about Zimun, and That's what we're talking about, right? Hakol Hayav Mizimun, right? That's the Pashup Shat, right? proof is Hakol Hayav Mizimun. Okay, the problem is, what about Maskana V'Yachalta Zavata Uve Rachta? How does that prove that they're Chayav Mizimun? That only proves they're Chayav Birkas Hamazon, and we never had a suffix of Birkas Hamazon. So how does that prove the Chayim Zimun? So it could be there's a machlokus in brachos. How do we know you have to say Zimun? Anyone know what pasuk teaches us? Machlokus we've shown him whether you literally had learned Zimun from a pasuk is literally is Zimun really d'oraisa or is Zimun only a takana d'rabbanan? Simple pshat is we pasuk it's only d'rabbanan, but nonetheless the Gemara here has pshukim. Maybe it's not smach, maybe it's d'oraisa. What pasuk? What's the famous pasuk that everyone remembers that we learn Zimun from? What? Or God the Gemara in Brachas Mem Chenam and Bet has Tanu Rabbanim Nine Berachas on Muslim Natorah Shneimar V'Yachal Zavata Uberachta. So here's one day Zubirkas Hazan Es Hashem Alokecha Zubirkas Hazimun V'Yachal Zavata Uberachta Es Hashem Alokecha Zubirkas Hazimun. Meaning from this pasuk and Tosefta a different pshat word. The word uveirachta, v'chal tzvata uveirachta zubirkas hazimun, and es hashem lekecha zubirkas hazan. So there is a daya that zimun is learned from the pasuk v'chal tzvata. So you could just say that. How do you explain the end of the Gemara? You could just say, like the Manda Amar in Brachos Memches, the zimun nilmad mi v'chalta. Visavata, etc. Right? Maybe our Gemara just happens to hold like that on the Umrah that you darshan of Zimun from that pasuk and then be a chalpa savata, and then you have to finish the pasuk of Oviraklus Hashem Elokecha.
Can't you have a proof from the next Gemara? If he was only talking about Bir HaKamozon and had nothing to do with Zimun, the next Gemara says that they're restarting of Zimun. They're not tied to Zimun. How could they be restarting?
Okay, meaning the context of is clearly a Zimun context. Okay, let's think for a second. If we take the derech of Zimun, what's the happening of their Pater Davka from Zimun? What's the having you the pattern then Davka from Zimun? What's the Svaras? Why are they pattern from Zimun? Meaning, we're not saying the having is they don't bench. The having is they bench, right? If the Kohanim eat their kachin for Kapara, they bench. But they wouldn't say Zimun. Why wouldn't they say Zimun?
Zimun, you need a chevra, chavura, a friendly meal.
For Zimun, you need seir to a chavura, right? And when you eat, so I was wondering about this. When you eat, and when they're eating for kapara,
well, they're sitting in the azara. They're not going to tell them jokes. I mean, they're having a nice meal.
I mean, they're not starting to kapara. So I was thinking about that, but I don't know if I really want to accept that hashkafically. Meaning, if you assume the definition of being starting to kapara and people coming together is being lightheaded and telling jokes, then in a chanami. But I'm not sure that hashkafically I agree with that assumption. It could be adrava. The whole point of the mitzvah, the place where people come together and they're over to shemiyakad, right? Meaning you don't have a bum in your backyard. You come to the mitzvah to make sure the place where we're together. And if the Gohanim are doing their achilas kachin together, then I'm not sure that you're not going
to sit together.
What?
You need to sit together for
uh-huh. So I saw this pshat in a sefer called Bnei Binyamin, which is in the, you know, in the Frankel Rambam in the back before the Sefer Maftach, they have something called Sefer Likutim. Sefer Maftach tells you who talks about things, an index. Sefer Likutim actually brings down the text of all of the achronim that were published, like whenever someone printed a Rambam in Europe and printed the full text of one of the portions in the back. The Frankel didn't want to be less than some guy who printed in Europe once. And therefore, whatever someone once printed in the back, they, in any, you know, known edition, they put in the back the full text called Sefer Likutin. That's how you want to know what they picked for Sefer Likutin. What Yichus gets is the Sefer Likutin, they put your full text in the Frankel. It's historical. It's if you were in the back of a Rambam in Europe, so that you shouldn't be able to say, you know, Torah Shlema Shalanu is like the primitive printing Shalahem. So, in the same old Bnei Binyamin, he suggests that. He says, there's a din, Ein Yeshiva Bazara. Now, that's not so pashut, right? Tosos, I think the mainstream din Tosos seems to be say that you can sit in the Azara for eating kachim because that's the needs of a voda. You only can sit for your personal or non-mikdash related needs. But there is a day that you can't sit in the Azara at all. So you could say that one shot is you could say, again, I saw this in the Sefer Bnei Binyamin, is that there's no kvias, right? For Zimun, you need kvias. It's not enough to just be together. You need to be kavua. Like, it's not enough in your mind philosophically to be together, your three musketeers and all for one and one for all. No, you need to be kavua. For example, if the three of us were the three musketeers, but we're eating, standing up, waiting at a bus stop, then we would not bench at Zimun, because for Zimun you need a certain kvias together. If we're eating walking on the road, we wouldn't bench at the Zimun. For Zimun you need haseba, you need sitting it. So maybe it ain't kvias if ain yeshiva ba'azara leman da'amar ain yeshiva afilu la'achilas kachin. Of course this only works according to the Rambam and the Shiva Gresis is Girsa, right? We're talking about Kohanim who eat Kachin Kachin in the Azara, right? But if you take the Rambam's Girsa, that's what the Bnei Binyamin said it for the Rambam. So there's no kvias because you're not sitting. Okay, then what's the
Gemara?
Then it's not so meduyak in the Maskana. Then what's the Maskana? What's Maskana then? There's no kvias because either way, we'll get it. There's no kvias because you're not sitting, you're standing. So what's the maskana?
I know. You could say that if you can have yeshiva,
exactly.
That's you're not, but if you can't have yeshiva, that is the kvias.
Exactly. B'makom she'aser leshev, right? Amida is kvias, right? Kvias is contextual. if you since it's usher to sit when you eat these things, is I don't think you're on a bus stop. You know, it's the kind of meal which you should be sitting for. You just happen to be in a rush. Over here, it's fundamentally food that the only way to eat it is standing in the azara. So that's the kvius of that food. Now, does that fit well with the lashon of the Gemara? Not terribly well. Like, what does that do? V'achalta. There is v'achalta zavata. It's tricky in the lashon of the Gemara. You know, tzarech ion. In this one paper that I found that was on the Bar Ilan that dealt with it, that's why I put it here, it was the only person in the Bar Ilan, Dear Yirmiyo, he says very briefly, he says that it's not considered chilas keva because your purpose is not, right, it's considered chilas arai, it's not considered kvias because your purpose is not for enjoyment, right? He would say, he could say the same thing, let's say you're eating for medicinal reasons. Right, let's say someone said, all the patients have to come and sit at a table and eat this food, not because they want to, just because it'll cure their disease. Then he would say that's also not kvias. He wants to say not necessarily technically because he's yeshiva, it's just, it's not called kvias if your purpose is not for regular eating. Now, you have to figure out exactly why that is. This is also a little tricky, like, it's one thing you could say it's not called kvias if you're just eating for refuah. You know, okay, that's like a weird reason here. You're eating for kapara, meaning you're eating for very, very lofty goals, which, shifty, beis Hashem, kol yechayai, lachzot, no Hashem, vagvei chalo. That should be the best kvias. But perhaps if you want to, you can say that, you know, it's not called kvias when you're doing it for some other purpose, especially here, that's you're doing it for kapara. So, you're not really, you know, it's in a context of work, right? This is part of your work if you're eating for kapara. So maybe, especially the Kohanim, maybe that's not kavua. After all, in your work, you're very busy. You have a lot of things to do. You go from one thing to another. I don't love the svara that he says it's not called kvias, it's called arai, because, again, I prefer that spiritual eating be very comfortable. You know, you ask me, no, if someone's eating spiritually, they're even more comfortable. After all, that's the essence of life. But somehow he wants to say it's not called kvias if you're not eating just for the sake of nourishment, which I don't totally get. And also, you can have trouble with maskana.
I mean, you could knock that down because the honey were allowed to prepare the food any way they want. So clearly,
no, better. They're not only allowed to prepare the food anywhere they want. They are commanded to eat the food in an enjoyable, fancy fashion, right? The mashkal gdula, they have to eat it. There's a steer in the Gemara. One Gemara says they have to eat tzli b'chardel, roasted with mustard. Another Gemara says they can eat it cooked or roasted or baked or boiled or whatever. And the Achronim say, it means whatever they like best. Most people like a barbecue best, right? But whatever you... So, you're right, meaning they are supposed to eat it, and the mashal l'gdula sounds like kvias to me, right? Meaning they're supposed to eat it l'gdula, b'derech gdula. But, I don't know, that's who is this? I quoted this from the B'nai Binyamin. This is the Divrei Yirmiyahu. Achila shelo l'shem achila ein bo kvias. It's not called kvias if you're just eating it for the sake of kapara. And, the maskana is probably that it is. It's just a weak hafamina. You know, what's the tzarech ion? Hey, tzarech ion hasvara. It seems a little anti-religious to me. Hasvara. The gam, lashon, maskana sagamara doesn't work out great either. Okay, yes. Okay. I thought maybe you could say, I mean, again, this Zimun, maybe this is just an incentive to say it's not really talking about Zimun, right? Because it's so difficult. I thought maybe if you wanted to say and like tie it into the Yesod of Zimun, you can take a third derech, which I have no marker for whatsoever, not even an Ephron that we never heard of. What's the purpose of Zimun? So the Meiri says in Brachos, in the beginning of Shlosh Sha'achlum, says the purpose of Zimun is, I mean, the Pashup Pshat purpose of Zimun. What's the Pashup Pshat? Pashup Pshat from the eye of the beholder. Okay, when I was a kid, I always thought, what's the purpose of Zimun? The purpose of Zimun is, it's like L'shem Yichud Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's to get you into the right mood, to focus you, that someone should say, okay, let's do something serious now. Let's bless Hashem. Let's take this seriously. And therefore, when you have it, you have one person, so what can he do? He just has to, you know, mechazik himself as much as he can. If you have a group of people before you do something, right? Anyone ever see in the movies, like sports teams? Or perhaps, maybe even in real life, someone here was on a sports team. Yeah, sure. I'm familiar from movies that before you go into the game, right, the coach gives you a pep talk. I don't mean just he strategizes like you go around here and whatever with the little diagram. No, he's like, okay, now we gotta do it and we, you know, so maybe Zimun, it's like a pep talk. You have a group of people. So one of them says, let's get ready to focus and bless Hashem and take this very seriously. And then say, okay, let's go for it. Right, that's what the Iri says. He says it's a hisorus, right? It's to awaken people. It's an azhara. Azhara meaning not to warn people, but azhara to like remind people, right? It's a to charge people. It's a charge and a, you know, awakening and a focusing. So maybe you could say, what's the havmina? The havmina is when you're eating stam divrei chol. When you're eating stam divrei chol, then you need the prep for birchas hamazon, right? You need the shmooze before birchas hamazon. When you're eating for kapara, b'kedusha, v'tara, kachim, whether you take the kohanim girsa or the everyone girsa, then you're obviously in the religious frame of mind. Right? You don't need the extra reminder to get into Birkas HaMazon with the right frame of mind, because you're already cutting, you're also in Kapar anyway. The whole thing you're doing is Avodas Hashem. So therefore, you don't need this, you need to bench, because after all, now your stomach's full, but the Havmina is, but you don't need the extra pep rally and the muster shoes first.
Can you say, like, when you're doing something which is so religious, you should, like, do extra hakana and just after, like, if you prepare for Yom Nelet, maybe you could say,
No, but that's because we weren't already doing something religious beforehand. Not such a pashut, right? But I'm just talking, you know, meaning when we go into Yom Kippur, tefillah zaka and everything and etc., you know, between Shachris and Musaf, we don't necessarily need the same thing. Maybe the Chazan does, right? Him the Yonim Mas, but because we're already there. So I don't know. Anyway, extra I want to say, you could like it, you could not like it, that maybe you could say that Lefi the Meiri, who says Zimon, who Inyan, his Orurus, the Azhara, Achilas kapara, ainu tzarech. You don't need it. Now, what's the maskana? The maskana might be, and here I guess I'm going back to the Gemara in Brachas on Chesed Beis. How do we know Zimun? Right? If Zimun is, one way to learn Zimun is it's a prep. It's an azhar of his orus. You know, God will Hashem itin ramash moyachtav. You know, let's get ready together to do it. The other option is no. Zimun is an essential part of benching. It's not an essential part of benching when I eat by myself or with just you, but when you have a chabura, zimun is an essential part of benching, right? The Sefer Kolbo in the Orchas Chaim, and the Kolbo is just a short version of the Orchas Chaim, the Kolbo in Hilchos Birkas HaMazon says, what's the purpose of zimun? He says it's Barov Am Hadras Melech, to bless Hashem together instead of individually. Meaning, it's a shidrug of benching. You can bench as an individual, and you can have a lot of people bench as individuals, but they're still doing things as individuals. Or you can have a group praising Hashem. Or you can have a Barov Am praising Hashem. The Rav has a whole yard section on Zimun, in the Shir Mizrach or Morizal. And his basic chiddush in that Yortzeit Shir is that Zimun is not just an additional thing you do for benching. Zimun is a different kind of benching. There's a benching of the Yachid and a benching of a Chabura, and they are completely different experiences of benching. Okay, he used that to explain many, many things, which I'm not going to get into now. But I mean, if you say that Zimun is not just his Orus, but Zimun is a qualitative enhancement of your benching, then no matter how holy you are, you should do a better benching, not a worse benching. Of course you should do the best benching you can. And maybe the maskana is, maybe the maskana is that Zimun is a qualitative enhancement of Birkas HaMazon. And then that would work well in the Lashon HaGemara. What does the Gemara say? Kamashlan v'chatu zavata ha'isnu. Kamashlan, within the pasuk v'chatu zavata, is a chiyuv Zimun. You know, it's not just for his orus. No, v'chatu zavata, part of the chiyuv benching involves Zimun. It's not just a side point. And then the Lashon HaGemara is meduyak. Meduyak. I don't mean it's meduyak as much as if we weren't talking about Birkas HaMazon in the first place. Then the Lashon HaGemara is really meduyak. We're discussing whether you have to bench. Kamashlan, you have to bench. But if you're within the pshat of Zimun, right, if you're within the pshat of Zimun, then, and the Rambam, it's a little unclear in the Rambam, but the Rambam seems to lean towards the side of Zimun, because he says, HaKol Chayavim Birkas HaZimun, Kederech Shechavim Birkas HaMazon. Everyone has to do Birkas HaZimun like they have to do Birkas HaMazon. So he throws in both interpretations, but he does seem to focus, I guess, primarily on Birkas HaZimun. Could be he's saying that both are true. We'll get to that in a second. Anyway, doing the Lashon HaGemara, what's the Mashal in the Gemara? Mashal in the Gemara is that Zimun is part of the Chiyuv of Birkas HaMazon, not just an additional din. Right? It's not an additional din, there's also a din of Zimun, which maybe you don't need in this circumstance. No, Zimun is part of Birkas HaMazon. That's Birkhatu Zavatva Isnu. So I think, you know, again, don't get screwed up, or am I fine? I think this is the best way to go with the Zimun, Derek, and the Gemara, that maybe the Havi is a side point. So Mashlan is part of Birkas HaMazon. Why is it part of Birkas HaMazon? Either because just the, meaning you could still stick with the Meiri. You could just say, the, you know, his own rustics of quality of change of Birkas HaMazon, or even better, the Hisvados, right? The Ravam Hadras Melech, the Chepsa of the relationship with Hashem through Chabura, which is on a different level, the relationship with Hashem as a Yachid, is, so maybe you can even say the Havi Ligor is the Irin Maskan is the Kolbo who said Ravam Hadras Melech. Okay, that's a Mechudish way to read the Gemara. I'm going to keep saying at least one Chiddush every day until I have one that Kornbluth doesn't have tainas against.
The exact opposite direction. And maybe the Gemara thought that Birkas HaZimun is going according to the Echad Mizamek with Kulam Yotzi.
Oh, Barur!
So that the Gemara thought that maybe the Avodah of the Kohen himself had to say to Birkas HaMazon himself. And then the same Maskona that you come to, that the Birkas HaMazon is even a higher amount than Maskona.
Okay, interesting. I hear the Taina. Okay, let's leave Zimun for now, and then we get into this very fascinating chakira about the nature of Zimun that could be hiding in this Gemara. Is Zimun just an external thing, or is it just a qualitative enhancement of Birkas HaMazon? The other shot is that, no, we're really dealing with Birkas HaMazon, right? And the proof is the end of the Gemara. Again, the Pashat shot at the end of the Gemara is V'achav Zavata, seems to be talking about Birkas HaMazon. That's the simplest shot that would work. Not only according to one opinion, and the parallel. It's interesting, the Masoros HaShas says, not that you should always trust the Masoros HaShas. He says, Tosef de Brachos Perkei. In the Tosef de Brachos Perkei, what does it say? Hakol Chayavin, the Birkas HaMazon, Kohan of Levim Yisraelim. So in the parallel Tosefta, it says, Hakol Chayavin, Birkas HaMazon, and not only that, the Gemara never quotes a different brayso about Kol Chayavin, Birkas HaMazon. So, if the Gemara never quotes the Tosefta Kol Chayav Birkas HaMazon, it only quotes the Kol Chayav Birkas HaZimun, maybe the Gemara meant the same thing, because there are some places in Shas where occasionally they do use Zimun interchangeably, like the Divrei Yirmiyahu says, it says, sometimes they use the Lush of Zim and they mean Birkas HaMazon and they say it lavdaf, like I come Mzamnim ad Kazayas, which clearly means Birkas HaMazon. Right? Just since you say Zimun before Birkas HaMazon, Lush is be lavdaf. So end the Gemara and the Tosefta in Brachos. And what do you do with the language of Bizimun if you take this approach? So, l'chori, you have to say that it's lav davka v'kavanasam l'birkas hamazon, and even though you might say that's a little dachuk, but the Divrei Yirmiyahu points out that this is done elsewhere in Shas. When you say, akama mazon acha zayas, how much you have to eat to say zimun, we mean how much you have to eat to bench and then say zimun. But it's really a lach about benching. So here they say zimun, because you do zimun, you bench, but they really mean benching. I mean lav davka, you don't mean zimun. They mean Zimun and the rest of benching. Zimun is just an expression for benching. So it could be that really we're talking about benching here. If we're really talking about benching here, Agav, I would say that's the other Gersa. Agav, I would say in the Rambam, what's the loss of the Rambam? It's not clear, because the Rambam says, Kochem birks on Mazon, Kederach Shoyam birks on Zimun, Kederach Shoyam birks on Mazon, Kohanim, etc., etc. It could be the Rambam held that they were both true. That's why he mentioned both. Meaning, he looked at the Sefer Brachos and says it's the Chiddush of Birkas HaMazon. He looked in the Gemara in Erech and says the Chiddush of Zimun. Maybe the Rambam held both. His Lashon is very unclear exactly. Why does he say everyone's Chayav Birkas HaZimun like their Chayav in Birkas HaMazon? Is he saying the only Chiddush is Zimun? Then why does not just say a Kochav in Birkas HaZimun? Is he saying the only Chiddush is Birkas HaMazon? Then why does he start with Zimun? Maybe he's saying both Chiddushim. How could there be two Chiddushim based on one Gemara? One in the Tosefta and one in the Gemara. So, could be, the Rambam says both. I can't prove, maybe Rambam holds both, but it's not clear, because you could say he's really focusing on one, he's really trying to focus on Birkas HaMazon, just throwing in Zimun, because that's the Lashon of the Gemara. Could say he's really throwing in Zimun, just mentioning Birkas HaMazon in the background. It's hard to tell. I can't prove to you which you know, version of the Rebbe and Gershon the Rambam agreed with.
Well, if they are kind of Zimun, then they have to be kind of Gershon
from up. Correct. The question is, they're Chiddush in both or not? Right. The question is, is there one Chiddush or two Chiddushim? Okay, so the Rambam's a little unclear, I admit. Now, let's just see what's the Svara. What's the Svara to be Potter? Svara Sahavamina. To be Potter, by the way, now Lashon Gemara at the end, works fine, right? Kamashon Mechal Svara. What's the Svara to be Potter from Birkas HaMazon? What's the svara to be potter from Birkas HaMazon here? So,
what about the same svara as Aden Yizor when he was craving the yom tov? That's not your purpose. It's not to eat lunch.
Okay, your kavana is not for achila, right? That's what it says also in the Sefer called Divrei Yirmiyahu. Right? Your kavana is not for achila. Your kavana is for something else. He points out in brachas they v'hafni, you shouldn't make bracha rishon if your kavana is for refuah. Okay, now, here it's a little trickier, because your kavanah is for achila, it's just a mitzvah to do the achila. But if your kavanah is not for, like, what do you mean your kavanah is not for achila? It's a mitzvah achila, you want to do the mitzvah of achila. Your kavanah clearly is for achila, but your kavanah isn't for achila for the sake of achila. Your kavanah is for achila for the sake of kapara.
I mean, you just said slightly differently, your kavanah is not for sviya, and the rest of that's the market for Birkas HaMazon.
Aha. So that's what you could say, and that might be Meduik in the Gears of the Shita. Did you notice in the Gears of the Shita here, what did he say? He said that V'chatav Savata, Uve Rachtuksiv, Vanika Anan Lekapara Achlu, Ka'achli Dichsev Yachlu Asar Karar Behem, Kamashlan V'chalta Amarachmana. He's a different Gears that we do. He says, the Hatman is V'chalta Savata, the Kamashlan is V'chalta. So maybe you could say that, what does it mean, the Hatman is V'chalta Savata, Kamashlan is V'chalta. Maybe one you could say the having is only achila for the purpose of sviya. Here your achila is not for the purpose of sviya. Your achila is for the purpose of kapara, right? Your achila is not to end up with a full stomach. That's clear. Your purpose is for kapara. So kamashwa, no. As long as you eat, it doesn't matter what your purpose is. That's what you want to say, Yosef.
Yeah.
Okay. So number one, you could say based on alpi yirsas hashita that the havamina is chayav rak im kavanoso lisviya, and here your kavan is clearly not for sviya. Kamashmalan maskana is your chayav for any achila. Yes, you definitely can have kapara bli svia. As long as you eat it, even if you're not saveya, you have kapara. Now, it's a little funny. The Gemara says it was a bit of a miracle that they ended up saveya anyway, but l'chora, that's not halachically necessary. That's just a metaphysical tip.
But then you don't have your
kamashulan to write, though. No, maybe the kamashulan is that even... No, maybe you. We're not asking whether you were saveya or not. We're asking whether your kavanah is for svia. The hadin's you need kavanah of svia. Kamash one is you don't. I wouldn't say that on my own, but in the Girsa Shudgubetz, it's sort of funny, like svia versus non svia. What's the issue? The issue is whether you were full or not. That's not the difference in the maskal and the havminah. You were, you probably were full, or if you weren't, then it has nothing to do with the fact that it was kutchin. Right? Maybe the havminah is kavanah svia. Kamash one is not. There's another interesting shot, which is that I saw in this Bnei Binyamin also. I'm sorry, you can look it up in the Frankel. He says the Havmina is mitzvos lav the hanos nitnu, so there's no hanah. Maybe the Havmina is there's no hanah because mitzvos lav the hanos nitnu. Now, of course, most Rishonim hold mitzvos lav the hanos nitnu. Just doing a mitzvah. But if you get hana'ah, that's hana'ah. But there's a Rashba who says that mitzvah means anything that's a mitzvah is not considered hana'ah. I mean, the fact that you're doing it out of obligation to Hashem means that it's not called hana'ah because you're doing it for Hashem. It's not called hana'ah. And therefore, the having is if there's no hana'ah, you don't have to bench. Kamash one is there's no hana'ah, but there is a chilu svia. And therefore, even though it's not considered hana'ah halachically, since you did eat and your stomach is full, then you still have to bench. So maybe you could say the maskana is that chayav, if you were achal v'saveya, even without hana'ah, you're still chayav.
You push that down too. Then you shouldn't bench for eating matzah.
Ah, according to this, in the Havamina, it's not just kachim. The Havamina should be any mitzvah. Which, on the one hand, is a kasha on this pshat. On the other hand, what does Rabbi Gershom say? The ha'achila chovehi v'lo tibayiz zimon or bracha, right? He just said achila chovah. Maybe he thinks that in a chanami you'd have the same havamina by matzah. Remember, it's only a havamina, so it's okay. According to this, you ask, is this havamina only by kapara or by all chiyuvim? According to the Shabbat Mitzvah, Hanos, it would for sure be by all chiyuvim. It would for sure be by all chiyuvim. which is Rabbi, this is the shot in the Gemara, and this is the Rabbeinu Gershom. Right? So on the one hand, it doesn't work well for shot in the Gemara. On the other hand, it works for Rabbeinu Gershom, so it has something going for it. Yeah, in this Divrei Yirmiyahu, he says that since your kavana is not for achila, he doesn't necessarily say svia, he says your kavana is not for for achila, and then he says the same should be for any mitzvah. So I'm not sure I totally understand that svara, but this sefer called Divrei Yirmiyahu says, right, he says, Potter Mishum Dikavanaso Mekapara Velola Achila, just like he doesn't seem to focus on this. Maybe it's really the same thing as the Shitim Gubetzes, right? That's probably the best way. And let's say, right? Let's say it's similar to Shitim Gubetzes. Who cares what his Kavana was? Okay, maybe you could have a Havamina. That, now, what's interesting, though, is that some of the Rishonim give more philosophical, explanations. The Meshech Chachma on the Pasuk of Benching says an interesting philosophical explanation. It's in Parshas Ekev. You can look there. He says, why do we bench? This is an interesting philosophical chiddush he has. Why do we bench? You might think, nah, okay, I mean philosophically. Rachmana Mertzka. Okay. You might think that the reason we bench is to thank Hashem for the food, right? We benefit and we have to say thank you. says the Meshech Chachma something else. He says, Shana the Psukim, Sefer Dvarim, context of Sefer Dvarim, Parshat Ekev, why do we bench? Anyone? Anyone read Sefer Dvarim?
Not forget Hashem.
What?
To not forget Hashem.
To not forget Hashem, exactly. It's not just saying thank you out of politeness. Is that what? What does all of Sefer Dvarim say? Now you remember God because you need the man and the etc. etc. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, Pentochal v'Savato v'Tim Tovim Tivnev Yashavto v'Gorchav v'Tzorchar Yerviyon v'Chol Hashelcha v'Chesed Hav Yerulach v'Chol Hashelcha Yerzeh v'Ram v'Vanecha v'Shachachdas Hashem Elokecha. Right? Even when we get involved in the Gashmias of Eretz Yisrael, we will forget God. When are you likely to forget God? Right? There's no atheist in a foxhole. Right? Does anyone understand what that is? Okay, good. I've never seen a foxhole. It's, you know, Mizman, we had, you know, but there's no atheist in a foxhole. And there's no atheist when you're hungry. Right? Everyone needs God when they're hungry. That's no good. Right? But, Pentochal v'Savata, V'ram Lovecha v'Shachachta. When you've eaten v'Savata, you have everything, when you have all the Gashmias, then you forget about Hashem, the Gashmias distracts you from Hashem, you don't need anything, you feel like your needs are satisfied, right? And often people come to Hashem, part of the human condition is to come to Hashem out of a feeling of neediness, right? That's why, right in the beginning of, sort of Pinchas makes this, Ha'ara. In the beginning of, what's it say for Sharon Batila? That the beginning of Bava Kama, this idea that Mave is Adam, right? Because an Adam is Tavayin Ba'ayu, right? An Adam is a bubble. What was the Lashon of Tila? Right? So what's the definition of Adam? An Adam recognizes his needs on a deep level, right? And therefore turns to Hashem. You know, part of the human condition, what makes us human beings, is that we recognize our needs on a very deep level, and therefore always have potential for spirituality. Okay, nice Sahara. That's on a very, on a very deep level. What he meant to say is that, you know, a dog, once you feed him, is satisfied. A cow, once you feed him, is satisfied. People, even if you feed them, they know that they're not sure what's going to be tomorrow, and they always have what to worry about. Right, unlike animals, people are the only species whose brains are advanced enough that they always have what to worry about in the future. You could take that in an unhealthy direction. But he wants to say, no, Adrava, that's the godless of people, that we always can find Hashem because our sense of human frailty gives us room to relate to Hashem. Okay, the Rav, right, we're always in an existential crisis. He just said the same thing with fancy English. Now back to this, but on a pshat level, meaning that's ideally, but in real life, people are very religious when they need, and when they have, they start forgetting about Hashem. So therefore, said the Meshech Chachma, the purpose of benching is not to say thank you. That's also good midah. I'm not against politeness. But the purpose of benching is that the achila makes you forget Hashem. Then he says, very pasha, what's the havmina? The havmina is that regular achila makes you forget Hashem. But achila of avodas Hashem, of a mitzvah, how can that make you forget Hashem? You are just trying to serve Hashem through your eating. And therefore, you shouldn't need the benching. That's what Meshech Chachma says. Says Meshech Chachma, I saw in the Bar Ilan, they have like one of these Likutim, Dachal Adaf or something. I think you go to the same thing also from the Sfas Emma somewhere. Says the Meshech Chachma, he says, the purpose of Birkas HaMazon is because achila makes you forget Hashem, and achila's mitzvah doesn't, right? Meaning only achila's chulin doesn't. Your whole achila's for the sake of a mitzvah. How are you going to forget Hashem? how are you going to forget Hashem? And therefore, that's the Hav. I mean, how does he read the Maskana? He has a either cynical or realistic way of reading the Maskana. You could say he reads the Maskana as, you could say two ways. No, the purpose of benching is to say thank you. And you always have to say thank you because you're still full. He reads it as, Maskana could say, what's Maskana? V'yachatav sabata. Not v'ram levavecha. As long as you eat, you should say thank you, right? Could say the maskana is a philosophical machlokas. No, the purpose of Birkas HaMazon is to say thank you. And you should always say thank you, right? However, he reads it differently. He says, no, v'achalta v'savata, once you're full, even if you got full in a very religious context, now that you're full, you still might forget Hashem. Meaning, you could actually make it to a lundus of maisa versus totsah, but he's saying more philosophically, he says, no, that once you are v'savata, you might forget Hashem.
That doesn't work according to Tosfos and Sukkot. Tosfos seems to hold the Berachot HaMazon on the first night of Pesach and Sukkot is Beraisa, even on the Kedayit. They have no Siyah on the Kedayit. I think that you could learn the Tosfos maybe different.
Okay, Tzarchian, I admit. I thought once you're getting philosophical, maybe you could even say something a little different. If you want to focus on Kapara, he's not focusing on Kapara here, right? If you want to get philosophical, you say something different, although here I'm going out on a limb, I'm not committed to it. But Efshar to say philosophically, no, the point of Birkas HaMazon is to say thank you, is because you preceded something. It says, but when the Kohanim eat for the sake of Kapara, then they're not receiving, they're giving. Right, they're not eating in order to take. They're eating in order to give someone kapara. And you might think, since the purpose of their eating is to give and not to take, therefore, they've not an obligation of saying thank you because they were not recipients, they were givers. If they got a tip, they have to say thank you, like Truma. But over here, no, they're trying to give kapara to the Bailim. They're just trying to help someone else out by eating this.
We're not saying thank you to the Bali. You're taking out that idea. What is the matter with the Bali gave you anything? They gave you because Hashem told them to give you, so you have to thank Hashem.
I hear the Taina. Okay, I'll say a little better. Once I'm speculating anyway, I'll say a little better. You can say like this. You're right. Let's say it's saying thank you to Hashem. When Hashem gives you something, you have to say thank you. When the Kohanim eat their kachay kachim, at least the Kohanim, I'm not talking about the Baal and the Shlomo necessarily, they're not eating for themselves. They're eating a shluchim of Hashem, that's why it makes kapara. The Kohanim are eating on Hashem's behalf. That's why I'm giving the whole thing to Hashem, and Hashem can't eat because he doesn't have a mouth, and he's not actually like, the pagan god who's a mouthful like this. He is the Hashem. And therefore, how does Hashem eat? So he has a fire on his behalf that eats on his behalf, and he's Kohanim who eat on his behalf. And that's what Kapara means. Why is Kapara? Kapara means because they are accepting it on behalf of Hashem, not just Mishulchan Kavod Kazachu, they get it, but they are Shluchei Drachmana. They're not Shluchei Didon in their eating, they're Shluchei Drachmana. So if you say, no, they're eating on Hashem's behalf, then they have received something for Hashem. They haven't received something from Hashem. After all, they've only eaten it on behalf of Hashem. Now again, that's philosophically sort of dangerous concept.
Hashem should say thank you to Kohanim.
Yes, he should. And he gives them many tips. It's okay. So Efshar, you could say that if you want to say the Havin is Davka Kapara, right? Because L'chor the Meshach Chochma should apply to all Chiyuvim. Unless you want to say no, like Kapara, maybe. At least, unless you want to say no, kapara makes you remember Hashem more than matzah. But Pashti, if you want to say it's davka b'kapara, right? Ein mekablim me'ashem, right? Me'ashem, ella. B'shlichus Hashem. And therefore, they're not getting something from Hashem. It's staying Hashem's the whole time. They're just eating it on behalf of Hashem. That's why there's kapara. And that's why they're kapara. Therefore, they don't have to thank Hashem. Hashem didn't give them anything. Hashem kept it for himself. They just ate it as Hashem shluchim. And then you can say the maskana is a result of Sviya. The maskana is, you can say any philosophy you want, in the end, they're full, and therefore the totsah is that their stomach is still full, so therefore obviously they have what to say thank you for. Okay, sure, if you want, you can say that philosophically, but I'm not necessarily committed. Okay, so to summarize, we have two basic ways of reading the underlying issue in this Gemara. Is it that Zeman? Is it that Rikzamazon? The Rambam? Can be different ways, maybe even both, unclear. We discussed technically how to explain the Gemara according to both ways, and what are the rayas, and what's the Svara, the more interesting part. So again, if it's Zeman, the Svara is either some sort of lack of kvias, maybe because of yeshiva, or maybe just it's not considered kvias if you're doing it for some other purpose, but then that doesn't read well in the Gemara. Or you could say, no, it has to do with the nature of Zeman. The having of Zeman is only a side point that you don't need in a holy context. Kamashwan Zeman is part of benching. That would be very, so to speak. Or if we're talking about Kirchna Mazon, which maybe is the smoothest way to read the Gemara, then yes, what's the Havmina? Could be the Havmina is your Birkan Mazon depends on Kavana. Kamashwan Birkan Mazon doesn't depend on Kavana, just depends on Maisa. Could be the Havmina is that Birkan Mazon depends on Hana, Kamashwan, no, it depends on Achilus via not Hana. Or it could be something more philosophical. The Havmina is that Birkan Mazon is to not forget God. The Kamashwala on that is either to say thank you or you still might forget God, or the Havim is you haven't got taken from Hashem. It stayed with Hashem and you're just a Shliach, and therefore that's very meduyik in the Indian of Kapara. and the Kamashwala is that you still have a Totsa of Sviya. Okay, yes. So what would be interesting here is the maskana, what is the machayev of benching? One could, you know, if one wanted to return to the realm of philosophies, to the realm of lumdus, it could be that, basically, if you take this derech, the maskana is that's the maisabet, the machayev, as opposed to kavana. If you take, what? B'sviya talarachmana v'ha'ishani, and b'sviya might be a matter of the totsah, right? There's still a totsah of sviya, so therefore you can have a lamaskana, a chakira lamaskana, is the b'chayv benching the totsah or the maisa? Might depend on which these pshatim you take, with the b'chayv the totsah or the maisa. Okay. Shkoich, that's an important Gemara. Okay, continuing the Gemara, we're not going to get into this Gemara, just make a har about it. The Gemara says, "Hakol mitzar from the zimun kohanim levim israelim." Pshita, isn't that obvious? Lo tzricha de ka'achli kohanim truma o kachim mizarka cholchulim. No, it's mitzar even when the kohen eats truma or kachim, and the Yisrael eats chulim. What's the havamina? South I mean holy boys are the mechal bahadi kol matzi achol im alul starif kamashlan nihid the zar bahadi kol matzi achol kol matzi zar matzi achol. Here's a matter of tzeirich. You might have had a havimina. Since the Yisrael can't eat the Kohen's food, they're not mitzurif. They're not eating together because he can't eat the Kohen's food. Kamashlan, but the Kohen can still eat the Yisrael's food, and therefore they are mitzurafim. Okay, and that's how we paskin that. If three people eat together, even if one of them can't eat the other's food, as long as the other guy can eat his food, that's enough to make a tzeirah. And then all the discussion that we've shown him here and in Brachos and in the postgame are, you know, what are the different levels of being able to eat, not being able, before I get to that, not being able to eat, you know, what if I could eat your food, al yidei she'ela, tars nadarim, what if I could eat your food if I did this first, you know, what if I could eat your food if I changed my mind about my shita. Okay, the devil's in the details there, but the principle is clear. One interesting ha'ara, I just wanted to mention this Magen Avraham, A, because a lot of achronim bring this down the halacha, but also because I want to make a ha'ara about it, which we've all figured out, no doubt, from the Makoros sheet. The Magen Avraham says, he quotes from the Hagon, the Mordechai Katan, he says, if you have a situation like this, right, where, what's the case, one guy eats fleishik and one guy eats milchik, or two guys eat fleishik and one guy eats milchik or something. So they're mitzarif, why? Because even the guy who eats fleishik can't eat from the milchik bread, the guy who eats milchik can't eat from the fleishik bread.
What about the halacha that clearly they're eating together because they're going to be in the zami together? The halacha that you can't eat together if one is eating milchik and one is eating fleishik on the same table.
So the answer is, we possibly can eat together if you have a reminder in between. And I guess the assumption, like Avram, is the reminder doesn't break up the tzeirah for Zimun. Meaning the reminder is good enough for your reminder, but not good enough to break you up into two separate chaburas. Okay, let's grant him that assumption. So his chiddush is here that the guy who ate milchik has to leave the Zimun. Not the guy who ate fleishik. Or to translate it into our terms, in this case, the kohen would have to leave the Zimun because he can eat from everything. The Tzar can't leave the Zimun. He can only count. He can't leave the Zimun because he can't eat from the Truma. It doesn't say what the mucker of this Chiddush is. But you tell me, what's the mucker of this Chiddush? What's the mucker of the Chiddush that when you have this funny Zimun where one guy can eat the other guy's food, the other guy can't eat his food, the guy who can eat all the food, he has to leave. The guy who can only eat his own food can only answer. So I thought, I don't know if it's true, but I thought you could find a mucker for this chiddush from our Gemara. Our Gemara says, Hakol mitstarfin lezimun, everyone is mitstarif to Zimun. It doesn't say this as, it doesn't say this is Hakol chayam lezimun. Mitstarfin means you're mitstarif. Not that you leave the Zimun, like we had, we skipped this on Def Gimel and Aleph, we discussed Hakol mitstarfin lezimun, meaning we darshan the Gran Levi Yisraelim. Now, before then, we just darshan without the Gran Levi Yisraelim. What's a common star from the Zimun? This includes a katan can count towards the Zimun. As we say, katan, ayudel mivarchim, is zamnim alav. You can count them towards the Zimun. Mitzarfim is not a lashon of leaving the Zimun. Mitzarfim means you're only mitzarif, but you can't actually do the Zimun yourself.
What? That's kind of a certain assumption about the chiyum on one hand and the schus on the other hand for being the mizamein. In other words, why do we assume that Zamein has to be in a certain position vis-a-vis the Mitztarfim who aren't in Zamein?
Okay, that is a good question. Apparently, the Svarah seems to be, the Svarah is not so clear. I mean, he doesn't give a Svarah, he doesn't give a Makar, he doesn't say very much as to why it has to be the Mizamein has to be the one who could eat everything. But what you look over, what you have to say is that if the mizamein is the motzi everyone, right? Remember, Medina Dukmar, the mizamein is the motzi everyone. I guess let's just go back to what we said before. If the Zimun is just a hisorus, then that's harder to understand, and I would not agree with this. If the Zimun is just a pep talk, a hisorus, then what make a difference? Who's the mizamein, who's not the mizamein? You know, as long as you can give a hisorus, that should be good enough. But if the Zimun is no, it's a different kind of benching. If the Zimun is that now I am, right? Now we're having a joint benching that's about all of our eating together. Right? And there's one fellow, Medina de Gemara, the Mazami has to be motzi everyone in benching. We are Mako, that we let people bench on their own. That's not so fush. Some people say you're not Yotzi Zimun that way. Some people say it's a Bracha Batala. But if the point of Zimun is not just a pep rally, the point of Zimun is that no, like the Rav said, it's a Zimun of a Chabura for an Achil of a Chabura. It's a benching of a chabura. It's a different type of benching. It's the benching about the eating together. Then I think you can understand that the person who's leading this has to be someone who is shy to this entire meal. The person who's eating this has to be, basically he's saying, I am representing eating all of these plates. Right? I am the chef for all of these plates. It's a joint benching. If it's a joint benching, at least the one who's saying it has to be shy to the entire achila. So I think that's probably the svar here, and I think maybe the Diyuk and Shas, it is always a question, how do they know this? You could say they thought of it on their own just logically. Or you could say maybe they were Diyuk in our Sugya, that Hakol Mitztarfim, that not Hakol Chayav Zimun. Hakol Chayav Zimun, they're all equal. Right? Hakol Mitztarfim Zimun means they're not equally Chayav. They're not equal in Zimun. They're just Mitztarif to someone else for Zimun. So it could be that's a Diyuk from Mitztarfim, especially in light of Daf Gimel and Aleph, if you didn't get a chance to look at this Gemara, just look at Daf Gimel and Aleph, the sixth line. Hakol mitzar from the Zimun Lasuya Mai. What do we include? Lasuya Katan Yedelim Yivarchim. That includes a Katan who knows what Hashem is about. Ashkenazim are not knowing this way, but Sephardim still are. That they can count the Katan. Da'amar of Nachman Yodelim Yivarchim Mizam Nimalav. As Nachman says, a Katan who understands what God is, we can do Zimun on him. We can count him towards the Zimun. But clearly, you can't lead the Zimun.
So it could be here also, he's the medayik from Mitzarfim. Okay, if you want to say that's the mocker for this, maybe the mocker is the diuk of Mitzarfim. If not, you just say they thought of it on their own misvara. And again, this certainly makes more sense if Zimun is a different kind of benching, and therefore whoever says it has to be able to thank Hashem, or has to be able to be shy of all the eating that went on here, as opposed to just a little pep talk. Okay, going on to back being on the Erchin. So, Hakol Ma'arichin Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. The Gemara says, Shita, is it obvious that everyone can have Erchin? Everyone can be Ma'arich Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. Shita Lo Tzricha, the Ga'achli Kohanim, sorry. The Amar Rav Lo Nitzchel Ben Bukhri. No, we only need for Ben Bukhri. The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah Shkolah, Amar Yudu Hei Ben Bukhri B'yam Nebel Kon Shogalei Nochote. Ben Bukhri is made, any Kohanim wants to give a shekel, it's not a sin. No, any Kohen who doesn't give shkolim is a sin, meaning Ben Bukhri says for shus for Kohen to give shkolim, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says it's a chiyuv for Kohen to give shkolim. But the Kohanim want to pat themselves by darshaning this pasuk for their own benefit. Any mincha of a Kohen has to be burned, it can't be eaten. So what did the Kohanim say? No, it can't be that Kohanim give shkolim. Because since the shkolim go to buy the carbon of sibur, which include the lechem aponim and the minchas haomer nishel lechem, if the kohanim gave shkolim, that would be a mincha that partially belonged to a kohen, then it wouldn't be edible. Ah, but the Torah says you do eat it, so it must be the kohanim don't give shkolim. That's how the kohanim darshit. Now they just discuss this. Ben Bukhri nami. But according to Ben Bukhri, hold on, since by Achila they're not chayiv to give, then if they optionally give it, isn't it still a sin? Meaning, I understand the Kohanim. The Kohanim say just don't give b'chlal. I understand Rav Yochanan Zakkai says they're chayiv. But what about Ben Bukhri, they're optional? How can you give optional shkolim to come ayil chun lazara? It becomes chulin bazara. So it's not exactly clear what it means by chulin lazara. It sounds like in the Gemara, what they're saying is the Kohanim aren't chayiv in shkolim, they just give shkolim optionally, then that's not called shkolim. Meaning, there's no such thing. They can't give. They're giving a shekel of a kohen, but a shekel of a kohen is not toll-based. There is no heck kedusha of a shekel of a kohen. Therefore, the shekel remain chulin. And then when they go and buy the animals, they're buying the animals with part kadosh shekelim and part chulin shekelim. Therefore, the animal is partially chulin, and when they bring the carbon, they're bringing chulin ba'azara. And the assumption is, right, they're not like remakdish the animal when they buy it, right? They just rely on transferring the kedusha of the shkolim to the animal, and here's some of the shkolim don't have kedusha. So the Gemara says, no problem. Demaisi lehu maso tzibur. No, when they bring the shkolim, they give them over to the tzibur. Means they're not makdish them. Ben Bukhri doesn't say they're allowed to be makdish them as shkolim kohanim. No, then that wouldn't be chal. They're allowed to be makdish them as shkolim for the tzibur, and when they're makdish them, they also give it to the tzibur, and it becomes shkolim of the tzibur, and therefore it can become the proper kedusha of shkolim. What does any of this have to do with us? So getting back to our topic, Salkadai Tichamina, Hol Ksivachol Erchah Yevashakla Kodesh, called the Isab Shkolim Isab Erchin, Vanikonim Hol Blessed Shkolim Lesnum Erchin, Ka Mashlon. What's the happiness? This is called Erchah Yevashakla Kodesh, the heckish of Erchin to Shkolim. So you might think that Yisraelim who have Shkolim have Erchin, but Kohanim who have Shkolim don't have Erchin, so therefore we have to teach you that Kohanim still have Erchin, and we, should not, either, well, we'll see, let's assume for now, we should not make that heckish. Okay, now, before we get back to Erchin, this issue of Ben Bukhri is very fascinating on a number of levels. First of all, Rashi quotes here from a Yerushalmi, why does Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai think everyone's chayiv in shkolim, and why does Ben Bukhri think only Yisraelim are chayiv in shkolim? So he quotes that they argue, what does it mean kol ha'over? Zayit nu kol ha'over. What is kol ha'over? According to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who's kol ha'over? Who we paskalai? Like, who's kol ha'over? But what does it mean, over? Over the Yam Suf, right? And everyone passes the Yam Suf, so everyone's chayiv in shkolim. According to Ben Bukhri, who's kol ha'over? Anyone who passed by for the mifkad, for the counting, for the census, and the Kohanim didn't pass by. Yeah, the Kohanim didn't pass by for the census, only the Israelim passed by for the census. Right, and the Levim also didn't pass by for the census, because the Medrash says, right, that Moshe went to their tents and counted them, not that they passed by Moshe. Okay, now, a few questions I want to deal with, maybe not in the exact same order here, but alright, let's go in order here. The first question is, let's deal with the Kohanim. Right, the Kohanim Darshu L'Atzman. The Kohanim Darshu L'Atzman, it's going to be a problem in Minchas Kohen. Right, can't be the Kohanim give Shkolim, so there's a problem of Minchas Kohen. And so here we have, what about the... The problem Minchas Kohen Lo Se'achel, so the Kohanim says it is a problem. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai assumes it's not a problem, right? He says no problem. The Kohanim can give Shkolim and it doesn't affect anything. How about Ben Bukhri? Did Ben Bukhri think this was a problem or not? Did Ben Bukhri think it's a problem in Minchas Kohen or if the Kohanim give Shkolim or not? The simple shot of the Bavli is not, because the Gemara says it's still a chait of chulin ba'azor. The Gemara, why does the Gemara deal with the issue of Minchas Kohen? So the simple shot of the Bavli is, how about Ben Bukhri? Simple shot. Mashma, that according to the Bavli, he agreed that it's not a problem. That's why the Gemara only says the issue is chulin ba'azor. The Gemara doesn't bring up the issue of Minchas Kohen. Now, it's an argument from silence. Like, why didn't they say, isn't it still a chait of Minchas Kohen that's being eaten? Masam, because he used the Yochanan Zakkai, that's not an issue. And the Yerushalmi, I gave you a little passage in the Yerushalmi, I admit it's very hard to learn, but the second shot in the Yerushalmi is that he also thought this was a problem, because Heshivu Chachamim L'Rabbi Yehuda, not exactly clear, although unfortunately it's different from the Yerushalmi, but some of Rabbi Yehuda's one quotes Ben Bukhri, something about, you know, that this carbon Mechas Sibur is Nechol, even though Mechas Yachad is not Nechol. Sounds like Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bukhri was worried about the edibility of the carbon. Okay, but in any case, it doesn't matter which way Ben Bukhri held, meaning there clearly there's the Kohanim's Drasha, who says that it's a psul of it's an Isser of Minchas Kohen, we'll say Achel, and there is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Rasha, who says that it is not a problem. So the first interesting question we have is, we have to analyze both shitas. So first, let's analyze Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, why is it not a problem? After all, if you go on and give Shkolim, why is it not a problem? So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, why is it not a problem? Rashi says, we go by Rove. Right here is a big discussion. It's a Mishnah Melech and Hosma Elo discusses. Are we talking about Bittel Barov? Are we talking about, like, is a point Bottle, the point not Bottle? The simple shot is, you don't need to come on to Bittel Barov. Rashi just means, the Pasuk said Mincha's Kohen. The Pasuk meant a Mincha that is mostly of a Kohen. The Pasuk didn't mean a Mincha that is only partially of a Kohen.
But you only have a rule when you have Bittel when it's Dover Shein or Matiri. Here, there's a Matiri, you can tell it, don't put it in.
No, that's not called Dover Shein Matiri. After it's mixed, you can matter it. In fact, you could have avoided mixing the first place, not Dover Shein Matiri. It's Bittel Shein Achila. So some of the Achronim want to say that's the pshat of the Kohanim and Ben Bukhri, that they say, well, it can't be Bittel Shein Achila. But here the robe is not exactly clear what Rashi means. He might mean, and this is what a number of Achronim assume, he might mean Bittel the robe, or he might mean simpler. You don't have to come onto only one Bittel the robe. Or only meant a mincha belonging primarily to a kohen. Meaning, I know the Shar Melech that was in this brackets and the Mishlo Melech and Hilfim Ilah Perzayelach above all these say Rasha and Bittul Baruch. They have the whole question: is Bittul Baruch Matul Chachila? Is it not Matul Chachila? Is it Midoraisa Matul Chachila or not? And is it Matbeah Batul Midoraisa or not? Can coins be Batul Midoraisa or not? Tosfos Me'ilah Daf Kaf Aleph I think discusses whether coins are Batul or not. You could look at it as Bittul Baruch, or you could say it's not a Bittul Baruch. Why is it not a matter of Bittul Baruch? This is the Avnei Lum bracket says. He says, Bittul Baruch is not shayach here. Here we're dealing with partnership. In partnership, there's no Bittul Baruch. I understand. If we decide to buy something, we're going to make a lemonade stand. So we buy all the lemons and the sugar and et cetera, et cetera. Right? So I put in 10 shekel and you put in 20 shekel. Right? I put in 1 10 shekel, you put in 2 10 shekels. No Bittul Baruch here. It's shutfus. The nature of shutfus is not something you're talking about Bittul Baruch or not Bittul Baruch. The nature of shutfus is that we each have a share, and that's the chiddush of shutfus. That's what your basis says. Mumminus is not Bittul Baruch. Right? So you could say, don't talk about Bittul Baruch here. We're dealing with shutfus and mumminus. If I own most of something, I'm not mevatel your ownership. That's ridiculous, the Gemara says. Right? Yoko lo b'chati. If I mix, you know, 2 bags of my gold with 1 bag of your gold, I'm going to keep it all? Obviously, it's ridiculous. It's a shutfus. So it could be that it's a shutfus, but when the Torah discussed Minchas Kohen, it meant primarily a Kohen, not partially a Kohen. Okay, quite possible. That's what Rashi means. So either means Bittul Baruch on the Chefza, or he just meant the Torah only meant primarily Kohen. However, the Achronim point out that you could say perhaps more Lundish understanding of why this Drasha, Lath, and Levanim are wrong, which is...
It's only a Minchas Yachid that's the problem. Because clearly... Even if you don't put it in
but I want the contrast to be sharper. Not between Yochanan and Seber, but even between Rabin and even Shutman and Seber. Meaning, this is what the Avnei Nezer and the Rugachever answer. Right? What did I put on the Makoros? I put the Rugachever outside of brackets. Yeah. But it's also in the Avnei Nezer, and it's not actually the Avnei Nezer. That Simon is the Avnei Nezer's grandson, who's corresponding with him. But we'll call it the Shut Avnei Nezer. So, and the Rugachever, right, the Rugachever is quoted in Michal's Yitzchak, right, Rav Yosef, what's his name, Rosen? Rav Yosef Rosen is the Rugachever. You know, it's right for him to say things like this, right? The Baal Tzof Maspaneach, it's not in the Sefer Tzof Maspaneach. What do they say? They say a Chiddush here. This Chiddush is famous in Wahyu circles because it was, right, one of the Rav's Tshuva drushes, and not a Tshuva. Although he did not tie it into this sugya, right? Like the Rugachever and the Shut Avnei Nezer did, right? He says that, no, there's different kinds of things brought by a lot of people. Sometimes something called shutfus. Shutfus is X percent mine and X percent yours, etc. And then the Kohanim is part of the Levi, is part of the Yisrael, is part of that's from the Kohanim. He says, Shkolim is not shutfus. Shkolim is Tzibur. Shutfus is... if I get a lot of people to chip in for a carbon, we want to bring a carbon, we're very poor, so we all chip in for a carbon. That's shutfus. But this is not shutfus, this is tzibur. Tzibur is not merely a shutfus of a lot of people. Tzibur is an organic entity, and certainly a corporate entity, that transcends the particular people involved, right? The Rav loved this idea, especially Al Chuba when it came to Yom Kippur, right? Kaparsat Yachid and Kaparsat Tzibur, that's a famous Chuba drasha. Right, there's such thing as a tzibur, Klal Yisrael. The tzibur is greater than the sum of it. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It's not just a shutfus of all the Jews. It's something called Klal Yisrael. It's a tzibur. A tzibur is more than a shutfus of the of the Yechidim. Therefore, a tzibur has a certain power that the Yechidim don't. Right, the Rav uses that in terms of Yom Kippur. Right, the Rav says, how can it be that Rabbi Yehuda claims Yom Kippur is machafer if you don't do tshuva? How can you have kapara without tshuva? No, you can't have kapara without tshuva, but the tzibur can have kapara, and therefore, since you're part of the tzibur, you also partake in that kapara. That's how you explain half of Hilchas tshuva and Hilchas Avodas Yom Kippur by the idea of a tzibur. And we know there's many differences between a carbon shutfus and a carbon tzibur. Right, for example, a carbon shutfus who has to do smicha? Everyone, right? Carbon Tzibur has to do smicha? No. There's no smicha on the carbon Tzibur. A mincha can't be brought b'shutfas. But a mincha can be brought b'tzibur. Now, again, you can explain these things as just exeris akasov in limited context. But the point is, a tzibur is not shufus. A tzibur is a chepta shel tzibur, which is more than just the individuals. Right? So they say, the shtolim equals a carbon tzibur, and tzibur is not shutfus of yichidim, but a corporate entity. Right? There's such things as Klal Yisrael. The Rav even likes to say, you know, that's Yisrael Saba. That's Am Yisrael is not just a shutfus of all the Jews. Am Yisrael is Am Yisrael, and the Shkolim are Am Yisrael. Korban Tzibur, and therefore it's not a mincha of a kohen. It's a mincha of a tzibur, and a tzibur is not a kohen, a Levi, or a Yisrael. A tzibur is a tzibur, right? A tzibur is not 1% kohen or 2% kohen. A tzibur is a cheftz of a tzibur, which is not transcends the individuals. Okay, that's the point, right? A tzibur transcends the individual constituents, or the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Right, the Rav loves to quote the idea that it ain't meets of a tzibur. Oh. Shabbat Lakhla?
No, it was Hayani and Shalom, Shabbaton of Bar Ilan.
Okay. You're right. Of course. Agav, where does this come up in all the poskim? Not in the Avnei Nezer, but the Avnei Nezer comes up in a bunch. But it's fascinating how it comes up in the poskim nowadays. It comes up in the poskim nowadays in terms of something that they really struggle with in modern times. How to apply Torah to modern times. I'm not interested in all the social agendas, etc. I mean, in the more purely Lumbish sense. Nowadays, you have something called a corporation. What is a corporation? A corporation is not exactly shutfus, hence the name corporation, which means it's like a new guf, right? It's not exactly shutfus. For example, what's the nachmina of having incorporated? The shareholders, don't have to pay the debts, right? So what exactly is the nature of a corporation is a big discussion in the poskim, right? Some people want to say that it doesn't exist in halacha. Some people want to say it's really a shutfus in halacha, it's just a shutfus with a tnai of certain special rules. It's a shutfus with a tnai that you don't have to pay in cases X, Y, and Z. But what a lot of poskim, Rav Amiel and others want to say, is that, how can we figure out how to apply halacha, how to halachically categorize and understand and digest the concept of corporation? Let's go to the concept of tzibur. A tzibur is its own guf, which is not just a shutfus of the people in the tzibur. Maybe that's what a corporation is. A corporation is really its own guf, which is not just a shutfus of the people in it. And what's the mucker in that is shas, the mucker in that is a tzibur. Now, that's going a step further, because just because this is true about a tzibur doesn't mean you could do it just by filing papers with the Misrad HaPnim, or wherever you file papers with, the Secretary of State back in where I grew up. So I'm not getting into that very fascinating issue of how to halachically define and categorize a corporation, Misman Hazeh. Do you want to take the model of tzibur or not? And even if we don't take the model of tzibur for that, but for Shkolim, for Klal Yisrael, the model is still valid. Maybe it's not valid for General Motors. But for Klal Yisrael, it's a great model. No, but Tzibur is more than the sum of its parts, the Chetz Shel Tzibur. And therefore, Tzibur is not a Kohen. It's not even partially a Kohen. It's a Tzibur, which is a different Chetz. Klal Yisrael is an organic entity, not just a bunch of people.
So if the Kohen partakes of a Shutfus with a bunch of Yisraelim, he's the only one who can eat that.
Exactly. The Nafgamina is, right? What's the obvious Nafgamina? The obvious nafgamina is, what about a shutfus of 100 Yisraelim and one Kohen, right? That's what you're saying.
Or even if you Rashi, a bunch of Kohanim and one Yisrael, because that would also be, that is primarily belonging to the Kohanim.
No, then it wouldn't be nafgamina. According to, and basically, what does the Minchas Yitzchak say? The Minchas Yitzchak says, I don't like the Rebbe's idea at all. Not just I don't want to use it for modern day corporations. I don't like the idea in the first place. There's no such thing as a Chetz Shel Tzibur. It's just a Shutfus of the Yechidim. What about argument, what about the Minchas Kohen? What about Yochanan ben Zakkai? Kohen she'inu shoko chotek. That's like Rashi. It means we go by the road. It doesn't mean that it's not a group of Yechidim. So here is, basically the Minchas Yechidim says back is, I have a Rashi which denies your Chiddush. And the Nafkamina might be, if you say like Rashi, then if you have a shutfus of 100 shayim and a kohen, it would be nechal. That's the point. The shutfus goes by the robe. If you say like the rugged shuffer, then no. A shutfus would never be nechal. Even if it's only 1%, even if it's only 1/1,000,000th the kohen wouldn't be nechal. It still is an aspect of a share of minchas kohen. It's only a tzibur, which transcends the individuals involved.
Just technically, it's really hard to get a shutfus in the minchal.
You don't mean hard. You mean impossible.
No, if you have a man is misnayiv a mincha, has only daughters and dies, and one of his grandchildren is a kohen, that's how you do it. But otherwise, it's impossible.
Right. Although that gets more complicated in terms of that gets back to whether Yorish are really shutfin or not really shutfin. Okay, so it is going to be a really hard. You're right. It is going to be a tricky example. As a matter of fact, maybe it wouldn't even exist. Maybe it wouldn't even exist, meaning it's not clear in that case, because the Gemara Davka says that a mincha can be brought by kids because they're not like shutfin. That would be totally on how you read the Maskana of that Gemara. Okay, unclear if there could be such an example. Right? Unclear if there could be such an example. Right? Not clear if it can exist. But the Chazanish seems to assume it could, and the Gatzon Kodshin seems to assume it could exist, right? He got his Makdish Mincha, and his 100 grandchildren inherited him, one of whom was a Kohen. So that would be enough Gemini between Rashi, the Minchas Yitzchak based on Rashi, and the Rugged Shavar. The Sarah Kohen wanted to say Rashi really meant like the Rugged Shavar. He didn't mean that you go by bit of a robe. He meant you have an entity of a Tzibur, and that Tzibur is mostly not a Kohen entity. But the Minchas Yitzchak says, no, he denies this. This is a fascinating question. What is the nature of shkolim and carbon of sieber? Is a carbon sieber just a tzir of all the people involved, or is a carbon sieber brought in the alphabet sieber, which is a new chepta, different than all the people involved in it? The other nafkinus, the Avnei Nezer dealt with here, is again, like, what if you have we know in a tzibur, even if some people die, the carbon sieber is still valid. So what about a shutfus? Where, I mean, here's going to be a little tricky because you have to find a chatas for shutfus, and then you have to get into that tomorrow to discuss. All right, we'll leave for now because it's going to be too complicated to elucidate. Okay, but here's a very, very fundamental yisod chatira, which comes out of our sugya, right? The main raya they're going to bring is our sugya. What is a carbon sieber? Is a carbon sieber shutfus, or is a carbon sieber a new chepta called sieber? The argamara, the easiest way to explain argamara is what the Rabbi Shemer says, is that, this is the good proof that a tzibur is not just a shutfus of yechidim, it's a new entity. But the Minchas Yitzchak says, lav davke, it could be that tzibur is a shutfus of yechidim, but we follow Rove based on Rashi, and that's what many of the Ahronim assume. They take this Rashi of Rove very literally. Minchas Yitzchak wants some proofs, which are not necessarily so. Such strong proofs. He says, we see in the Darim that a guy can answer his share in the shul, the Hanah, and others. So, but it belongs to the tzibur, so doesn't that prove it's tzibur such a shutfus? Because each guy can answer a share on others. So then he deals with, first of all, you could say that maybe Zibzina based Knesses and Shkolim. Based Knesses is only one town. Maybe one town is not a real tzibur, but Klal Yisrael is a real tzibur. So you could say that even if he's proven that a base Knesses is just a shutfus. But Shkolim and Klal Yisrael is a real heft of Klal Yisrael. or, he brings down there, you could say, no, base Knesses is different because each person has the right to use his seed in shul. So he does retain some individual rights, as opposed to the Shkolim, where no one actually has the right to do anything with any particular part of the government of Sibur, just the Gabbarim are in charge.
Maybe go back to the previous sugya, we can use this svara to explain why a zimun is more than just the
Correct, I think it would be very parallel. I agree. This is in Riyokim and Zakai. Let's then take this to the Kohanim or perhaps Ben Mochri. What do they seem to hold? Here it gets a little trickier. The Kohanim and maybe Ben Bukhri, according to the Mishalmi, they seem to hold that no, we're dealing with Shutfas, and therefore the Nisr Minchas Kohen, and there's no din of Rove, right? A Shutfas that's even 1 or 0.1 or 0.01% Kohen is not Ne'achal. So the Kohanim say, no, that carbon Sivar equals Shutfas. Carbon Sivar counts as Shutfas. And therefore, even one shutaf who is a Kohen, right, makes it a no nachal. One of the questions that the Brisker Rav brought up is, what about the kapara? Right? Who gets kapara from the carbon of Sibur? According to these Kohanim and perhaps Ben Bukhri. Right? Who gets kapara from the carbon of Sibur? Says the problem is that the Kohanim get kapara, then even if they don't give shkolim, it's still a minchas kohen. Right? What's the question? The question is, how does it help for Kohanim not to give shkolim, or to give shkolim of mimosa with Sibur? If they still have a shutfus in the kapara, after all, they were chaper for all of Klal Yisrael. So the Avnei Nezer says, very interestingly, right? What does he say at the end here? He says in the Shud Avnei Nezer, again, it's his grandson, it's not him. It's just the Shud Avnei Nezer. He says, "Omimei l'mashul ben Bukhri of Shimon, ein the kohanim shum kapara b'sira golim sira shchodesh lo inu zaviolim." According to Ben Bukhri. And I mean, he assumed, according to Ben Bukhri and Ibn Shimon, that's his own cheshbon, the Kohanim don't get any kapara from, right? The Gemara in the beginning of Shavuos tells us what kapara we get. Right? When they bring Sir Lachata, some Rosh Chodesh, and the Moadim, what is it machaber for? Tumas Rachel Kodshav, in case you have a Tchila not a soap, you have a soap and not a Tchila. I am showing the very beginning of the Sefer Shavuos, the whole cheshbon. So he says the Kohanim don't get kapara, right? The Kohanim have no shir at all. Must be the Kohanim don't get kapara. So that's the Avni Nezer says, or the Shud Avni Nezer, says that Kohanim don't get kapara. Basically, the Kohanim see we're not mechaper in the Kohanim. Okay. Then it solves the problem. Meaning they're really not shaykh these carbon of Sibur at all. They're not shaykh b'chlal to these carbon of Sibur. They don't get any kapara. They're their own nation. So, however, the Brisker Rav assumes that can't be. Says, now we would have heard. Why? Some. We would have heard. Can't be. Doesn't make sense. What? Right, obviously, what's the model of the Avnei Nezer? The model of the Avnei Nezer is Yom Kippur. Don't we know in Yom Kippur that the separate kapara for the Am and a separate kapara for the Kohanim, right?
But it still comes from the carbon of Sibur.
No, it doesn't. The Yisraelim get kapara. I mean, it's a bit of machlokas, not Zerush Aleach, but the Yisraelim get kapara from the Sarib Bithnim, right? Remember, there's a part of Zerush Yom Kippurim. The Yisraelim get kapara from the Sarib Yom Kippurim, and the Kohanim get kapara from the power of Yom Kippurim. The Sarib Yom Kippurim comes from Shkolim. Where did the power of Yom Kippurim come from? From the money of the Kohen Gadol, not from the Shkolim. Right? So, what's the Ebenezer's model? Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we see that the Kohanim get kapara not from the Shkolim, from other money. And only the Yisraelim get kapara from the Shkolim. Now, it's a machlok tanai, and what about the Sar Mishalech? But there is a day that the Kohanim don't get kapara from the Sar Mishalech either. Right? So it could be. So likewise, all year long, they don't get kapara from the Shkolim. It's a little funny, they don't get kapara all year long, but it could be. But the Kohanim have their own rules. Maybe they don't need so much kapara all year long. I mean, I'm not sure why, but the Grid says, no, it can't be. That's too radical. It must be they do get kapara. he says, I'll come back to what I mean here in a second. He says, yes, they're going to do get kapara. So now, what does it help them to not give shtalim? So he says, because the problem of minchas kohen is not in the kapara. The problem of minchas kohen is in the momenos. Right? It's not in the kapara, but in the baal hamamon. That's the the clever answer of the risk rough here. Now, there are two different versions of exactly why there's not a problem in the kapara. In the shirim of the son of David, he assumes because, no, minchas kohen doesn't matter who's miskaper, it only matters who gave the mincha. I mean, there's no problem with minchas kohen. It's not called the minchas kohen if it becomes miskaper. It's only called the minchas kohen if a kohen paid for it, if a kohen gave it. In the shirim of the brisk rav that we have on the Bar Ilan here, that are on the sheet, he says a little different. He says, no, really, a kohen at minchas machaper kohen would be a minchas kohen. But over here, where he's kapara, it's just b'chlal letzibur. The fact that he gets ancillary kapara with everyone else, that's not enough to make it a minchas kohen. It's only if he actually has a share in it that makes it a minchas kohen. Okay, but he's saying is the problem that the kapara in the baal hamamon. And this, he points out, is a big machlokas. is a big machlokas rishonim. Machlokas rishonim is, what is it called a minchas kohen? Called minchas kohen, called tiyul osiyachel. What's called a minchas kohen? A mincha that's mechaper on a kohen? Or a mincha that is given by a kohen? Right? Who paid for the mincha? Or who the mincha is mechaper for? So this is probably toloi on machlokas rishonim. The definition of minchas kohen. If minchas kohen means a mincha that's mechaper on a kohen, then the avdeinazer would have to be right. You have to say that the korban of sibur on mechaper and kohanim, according to Ben Bukhri and maybe Ben Bukhri and the kohanim were darsh la'athman. Or do you say no? A mincha let's say a little better. A mincha that's given from the moment of a kohen, right? A mincha that's, or you could say a little better, or a mincha, right? Shehevi kohen. I don't mean the mincha brought a kohen. I mean the kohen brought the mincha. Meaning, it's a matter of who the mincha is for or who is bringing the mincha. I actually noticed in the arrangements in Sanf Dalet, he says explicitly, he says, you know what minchas kohen means on the mitzvah minchas kohen? The Urayim says, I thought I wrote it down or someplace. Mincha bami mamono shel kohen. He says, purely a matter of the mamon. And after the Urayim, this is exactly a quote from the Urayim. You can look it up. Simen Samach Daud. Okay. So, where do we see this machlokas mainly? We see this machlokas about in Masechah Sota. The Gemara in Sota says, a mincha of a... Okay, here it gets a little complicated. Don't lose me. Because Kohenes sometimes means two different things. What does Kohenes mean sometimes? The daughter of a Kohen or the wife of a Kohen. So one thing is clear. The mincha of a Kohen is burnt, not eaten. The mincha of a daughter of a Kohen, let's say she's single, is eaten, not burnt. Meaning a female has no issur of minchas kohen kolotil, they'll say, achel. If a kohen has a daughter and she's 12 years old and she brings a mincha and she's single, then that mincha is eaten. She doesn't have the special rule of kahuna. Just like she doesn't have most of the rules of kahuna, right? She's allowed to go to cemeteries and she brings a mincha. It is it is eaten. What about the wife of a kohen? So the Gemara in Sota says the wife of a kohen is tricky, because it's part hers and part her husband's. And therefore, they say, it can't be all... they say, you don't treat it like a regular mincha of a kohen and just put it all in his bayach. But you can't treat it like a mincha of Yisrael and eat it, because partially owned by partially her husband's. And therefore, they say you basically treat it like a minchas kohen, but with a little exception. You first take off the kometz, burn the kometz, and then burn the rest. Okay. So, it's not eaten. It basically has the Isser Minchas Kohen. Right? We don't go all the way. We only go 99% of the way. But as the Isra is going. What does the Gemara in Sota mean when it says the mincha of a wife of a Kohen has a din of minchas Kohen? Now here you have to know the context. What does it mean when they discuss a mincha of the wife of someone? What are the two ways to interpret that? What? It could mean a minchas Kohen, minchas Sota, meaning it's in Masechah Sota. You don't have to say if you're talking about Sota because you're in Masechah Sota. That's the ambiguity. If it says mincha and it's in Masechah Sota, does it mean mincha of Sota or does it mean any mincha? The one it says mincha. On the other hand, it's in Masechah Sota, right? That's an open question. So, sorry. This is the machlokes between Rashi and Tosos. Right, so, the nafkamina is Mincha of Eishes Kohen. That's not what's called a Minchas Kenos or a Mincha Sota, right? What does Rashi and the Rambam say? Any mincha of Eishes Kohen is not necheles, or not nechel, whatever, because husband has partial ownership. Any mincha of Eishes Kohen is not nechel, that's the Gemara meant. You can't be any mincha of a wife of Kohen, why? Because the husband has partial ownership, right? He has ownership in her property. Not only that, he has a responsibility to bring her karbanos. That's what the Torah says. That he takes responsibility to bring any karbanos she has to bring. So therefore, even though it's her karban, since he has bailos, it's considered a minchas kohen. As opposed to Tosfos. Toso says, no, it's necheles because it's only mechaper on her, not on the husband. Except for minchasota. Minchasota is mechaper on both of them. Why? Because what's the purpose of minchasota? The purpose of minchasota is in order to make this ritual of the sota work, and this ritual of sota involves both of them. Right? So the minchasota, everyone agrees. That's mechaper in both, and that's what Tosus adds. Let's just make a little star for what Tosus adds. But minchas sota is burned because it's mechaper on both the husband and the wife. That's Tosus chiddush, right? A minchas sota is mechaper on both them. Okay, but it's not so crazy. The point of minchasota, I mean, it's not to be mechaper in the standard sense, like to atone for your sins. Right? Adraba. It's to bring up the sins. Right? But the purpose is, the ritzoi, the minchasota, is that this husband and wife, their relationship should be judged by Hashem. Right? The minchas kenos. Right? The part of the minchasota is that it should be kenos between the two of them. Okay, so what does Tosfos say? Tosfos says only the minchas kenos is burnt. Because that is kapar for both them. But it's stam mincha. Why don't you owe stam mincha, for example? What? Exactly. Let's say she swore falsely and was very poor, right? So she would owe a mincha. Tosa says that wouldn't be burnt. That's only mechaper on her. She's the only one who swore falsely. Her husband didn't swear falsely, and that would be eaten. Because Tosfos thinks it depends on kapara. However, Rashi and Rambam would say, no, even if she swore falsely and was very poor and has to bring a minchas chote, that minchas chote would be burnt because it's partially owned by the husband. The husband's also the violin here because of the marital relationship. So, therefore, we have this chakira and minchas kohen. Is it, again, the kapara versus the mamonos? and that affects... that is a machlokas rishon and sota, and that lechora affects our sugya also. What would perhaps Ben Bukhari and the Kohanim were dirt to Atzvam? What do they think about kapara? If you take the approach of Tosfos, then they would say obviously it's not lechora the Kohanim. Not the Kohanim thought they didn't need so much kapara. Their dirt to Atzvam they were holding didn't need so much kapara. But according to the Brisker Rav would say based on the Rashi and the Rambam, and he quotes this Rashi and Rambam, he would say no. Minchas Kohen depends on mamonos, and as long as they don't give the money, it doesn't bother us if
they get the kapara. okay, there's a few things that one could go into a little deeper, but what we will not go into now, which is, again, A, would Rashi and the Rambam also agree that kapara makes it into a sculling? Seems to be two different versions of the brisk and rub. And the whole question of paying the money versus being the, what's called, the person in charge of bringing it is an important distinction. Like, what if a Kohen owes a mincha and I pledge to, like, give the mincha for him? Is that, or a Yisrael owes a mincha and the Kohen pledges to give a mincha for him? How does that fit in here? Because there may be, if someone's just pledging for a stranger, they're really giving it to them as a gift. And that might be different. We're not going to get into now. I'll leave that to your own ego. I will point out, Agav, that, no, okay, we'll leave that for now. The, should I point out? Okay, I would guess, it would be an interesting question. I don't want to get too much into philosophy here. But why is a minchas kohen not eaten? Why is a minchas kohen all burned? Like, we don't find different rules about other korbanos of a kohen. Why is a minchas kohen kolotil tia lo seyacha? So it's not 100%. It's not 100% clear. you could say that. Yeah, it's not 100% clear. You could say since Kohanim are holier, therefore they're sin, therefore... But I don't know. The simple shot is what the most of the Rishonim say on Chumash. They say, because in every... the Menachos are eaten by Kohanim. And therefore, if you bring a Mincha, if you're a Kohen and you bring a Mincha, and you eat the Mincha, and all you put is a Kometz on the Mizbeah, and you eat the Mincha, then you haven't really brought something to Hashem.
What about a chama?
Hold on that second. So yeah, the pashup shot is because and the Kohen's the one who eats it. And how can it be a korban to Hashem if you just bring it and you eat it yourself? Doesn't make any sense. Therefore, if you scroll bring it, he gives it all to Hashem. And then the Kohen and help Hashem eat it. If a Kohen brings it and eats it himself, then where's the korban there? It's just called lunch. It's not called the korban. And therefore, it's called tiyah. Given that, if that's really the Tamiya Mitzvos, that, well, okay, let me take it back a second. Joel asked a obvious question. Well, what about Chatas and Asham? After all, the Kohen brings it and the Kohen eats it, so why don't we say it has to be all burnt if the Kohen brings a Chatas or an Asham? So here, I would say two possible answers. The what I saw in the Chizkuni on Chumash is that, Chatz and Hashem, you at least put the Chilav on the Mizbeach, so there's a lot given to Hashem. But a Mincha is only a Kometz, which is very small, and therefore that's not enough. You could probably say a little deeper, but I don't want to get into this now, was that there's a fundamental difference in Chatz and Hashem and a Mincha. In the carbon of an animal, what do you bring into Hashem? What?
The blood.
And what is the dam?
The nefesh.
The nefesh. You really bring the life to Hashem. Remember, there's smicha, right? There's certain identification of coming through to Hashem, through this life that comes to Hashem. Meaning, the ikar kima, the karban, is not the fact that you're giving Hashem something. It's the fact that here you have a life. You're bringing a life on the Mizbeach. What is a karban mincha called? Mincha. What does mincha mean? What does mincha mean in Chumash?
Gift.
A gift, right? Atharo mincha alpana by Yaakov and Esav. In a mincha, there's no zrikas adam. There's no kavaras adam. All there is a gift. Meaning everything else, you have a whole life being sacrificed for Hashem. You have a serious nefesh. In a mincha, all the mincha is a gift. Because there is no dam. Ki adam u benefesh yechaper. All there is a gift. But yeah, you're very poor, so just give a gift to Hashem. Or you're in the mood, just give it. So it makes sense that by a chatz and Hashem, the ikar is the zrikas adam. The ikar is that a life goes to Hashem. Okay, who cares who eats it? By a mincha, the ikar is giving a gift. You can't give a gift and take it back. Right? That's used to be called something which is not politically correct anymore. Right? Okay, I'll be politically correct. Right? That's a Native American giver. But the
Okay, but that's all a bit of a side point. I just point out, if it's really true, that, let's just pause for a second. What's the Tamei Mitzvos? Why Minchas Kohen is not eaten? Okay, we're not sure the Torah said so, but the Rishonim say, because you have to give to Hashem, you can't give and take it back. If you keep it for yourself, where are you giving to Hashem? So why is giving the Chatzis and Hashem? Maybe Chatzis and Hashem is very big, and there's still a lot of Tchilah you give to Hashem. Or maybe because the Chatzis and Hashem, you have the Avodas Adam, you have the whole theme of the Nefesh going to Hashem. In a Mincha, you have the whole theme of coming close to Hashem, by Smicha, by being with the Karban. By a Mincha, all you have, there's no life. If there's no life, there's no Kaparas Adam, it's not about life. All it is a gift. That's why it's called a Mincha. And if all it is a gift, and you take it back, then you really haven't done anything. More of a qualitative chiluk than a quantitative chiluk. If it is true that mincha is more about the gift aspect, then it might make sense, habami mamona shel kohen, that how do you define whose mincha this is? Not necessarily by who owed the mincha. You don't define by who owed the mincha. You don't define by who's mitzvah in this mincha. You define it by who gave the mincha, because mincha is not a gift, and it's more about just the giving of money to Hashem. That's why the Medrash says, right, an ani who can't afford the money and gives it to Hashem, that's considered just as good as an animal sacrifice, right, even though all he did is give a gift, because for him, that gift is giving up his soul. Okay, the last thing I want to discuss here is, what did we not get to? Okay, one last inyan, and then we'll have to come back to the rest of the Gemara. Last time, the last thing in Ben Bukhari is the issue of Mesira Letzibur. Here we have a very, very fascinating discussion. Ben Bukhari says Kohanim are Peturim. Even though Kohanim are Peturim, they can be... Oh, what did I mean to say? I apologize. I meant to go back, by the way. And I knew I forgot something. Bring a raya from the Yerushalmi. Now, there's different mefarshim in the Yerushalmi. No one's exactly sure what the Yerushalmi means. But the Yerushalmi is a fascinating discussion. Hitivam Chamler Yehuda, right? That the Chum say back to Ben Bukhari means Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says back to Ben Bukhari according to Bnei Moshe. Sorry, back to Rove versus Tzibur. Says, don't tell me that you can't eat it. After all, there's a difference in Chattas. Chattas of a Yochid dies, Chattas of a Tzibur doesn't die. Likewise, Mincha V'Yochid is Mincha's going, Mincha V'Tzibur is not. When the Yerushalmi wants to respond and justify Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, at least according to Bnei Moshe's reading, which I think is the Pashav Shah, once just for Yochanan and Zakkai against the Kohanim and Ben Bukhari, what does Rishalmi say? Oh, it's Tzibur is different than a Yochid. It really sounds like that Rishalmi is a good marker for the Rugged Shaman, that Tzibur is different than a Yochid, and specifically of a Chatz of a Tzibur doesn't die. Chatz of Shufin does die. Meaning, Chatz of Shufin, right? I mean, there's no Chatz of Shufin. Oh, maybe there is. If one of the Shufin dies, then the Chatz of Shufin does die, according to the Chamdur of Shimon, at least. Ayin Shaman, the Tosus in Yoma. But it's saying that Tzibur is different, and that was the Rav's best right. Chatz of Tzibur doesn't die, meaning a Tzibur never disappears. A Tzibur is an entity that always lives, even if one of the person's people passes away, that doesn't change the Tzibur. Like if a cell of your body dies, you're still the same person, because you're more than just a collection of cells. Okay, now just getting back to the last thing we were, Mesira Letzibur. Right? What are they coming out on Ben Bukhari? Is it a Chulin Bazara? No, we're Moser Letzibur. This created a problem that all of the Mefarshim dealt with, which is, what about Nashim Uktanim? Are Peturim Ishtalim? But are allowed to give. What about the problem of it's a chet to the chulin bazara? Right? Didn't we say that it's a problem if you bring shkolim when you're not supposed to because it's chulin bazara? So, what is the Bart Neuver saying? Why isn't it a chet of chulin bazara? What did the Bart Neuver say in shkolim? Anyone? Exactly. Says they're Moser Letzibur, just like Ben Bukhari. Just like Ohana or Potter, but they want, they can be Moser Letzibur. So too, the Nashim Tana or Potter, but if they want, they can be Moser Letzibur.
Is that that they have to actually do it, or it's understood that that's what they do?
It's a great question. Simple pshat is they actually have to do it. Okay, that's a good question. I'm not sure. However, the Shar HaMelech is Medayik in the Rambam. The Rambam didn't mention any requirement of Masir Letzibur. So the Shar HaMelech says the Rambam doesn't hold for Masir Letzibur. However, Shar HaMelech says that the Rambam did not require Masir Letzibur, because he should have said so. If the Rambam doesn't require Masir Letzibur, then you're back to Ben Bukhari. Didn't we just say, if you give optional shkolim, then it's a chit, it's kulam bazara? So how can Nashim Ketan give optional shkolim? If you say the most Letzibur, great. But basically the question is, why, according to the Rambam, do the Kohanim have to be most Letzibur, but the Nashim Ketanim don't? Right? That's the question. Why do the Kohanim, according to Ben Bukhari, have to be Moser Letzibur, but Nashim Uktanim, Lefi the Rambam, don't have to? Like, what's the difference? Partner is fine, there's no difference. But what's the difference? According to Shari Melech, why are Nashim Uktanim better off? Anyone?
I mean, the Kohen is mufka from the mitzvah of shkalim, but the nashim and the ketanim, it's not that the mitzvah isn't like shayach by them at all. It's that they just have some matzav where right now they're patur.
Exactly, I think that's the pashut answer. The pashut answer is a fundamental difference between kohanim and nashim and ketanim. After all, ketanim are part of all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Certainly in the Rambam, what does the Rambam hold? You know this machlokas. Bar Nura holds you only have to be shown from what age?
20.
The Rambam holds from 13. So under 13 is potter for mitzvos. Women are potter for many mitzvos, right? Not just mitzvos, they just mind grow. They're potter for other mitzvos also. So Kohanim, the Adra, they're chayiv more mitzvos. Why don't the Kohanim give shkal, have to be shown from Ben Bukhari? If they're mukha, they're not that seabird that needs shkalim. Right? So the answer is, what's the answer going to be? The answer is that our Shayach to Shkolim, they just have a p'tur. Nashim Ketanim, of course they're Shayach to Shkolim. They just have a p'tur. Women are potter for some mitzvos, and kids are potter for some mitzvos. If you're potter and you choose to do it anyway, that still counts as a mitzvah, right? Let's say a woman shakes a lulav. That's still a mitzvah. that's still a mitzvah. Let's say a Kohen shakes a lulav. So that's very controversial. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says that's also a mitzvah based on a shach and a siman aleph in your dad. So they're shy at the skull and they just have a p'tor. But Kohanim, our mufka, you might even go so far as taking the tzibur of shkolim, but mufka from shkolim. What do I mean by this? It means that kohanim, Hashem says the shkolim are the shkolim of the tzibur ha-yisraelim, right? According to Ben Bukhari, kohanim the shkolim of the tzibur ha-yisraelim. I want shikla yisraelim. The kohanim are excluded. The kohanim have a different job, right? The yisraelim gives shkolim, and the kohanim do the work. That division of labor. The Kohanim, it's our mufka, they're not supposed to be part of Shkolim. They're not supposed to be part of Shkolim, they give Shkolim to Chum Mazara. Nashim Ketanim, what do you mean? They're part of the same Tzibur, it's part of the same household. Hashem just exempted the Nashim Ketanim. They don't have as many obligations as everyone else. Okay, but they're shayach to the Shkolim, they're part of the Tzibur of the Shkolim. They're just exempted. When you have an exemption, you can take advantage of the exemption, or not take advantage of the exemption. Again, a woman is potter from lulav. If she shakes a lulav, it's still a mitzvah. A kohen is potter from lulav. If he shakes a lulav, it's still a mitzvah. Today, if I shake a lulav, it's not a mitzvah. Because today is Tesva of Tammuz, and it's just lulav is not shayach at all. If a guy shakes a lulav, it's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah at all. So I think that's probably the answer. This also solves the problem all the Achronim had. Achronim said, how could a katan be moser letzibur? Katan can make a kingdom midoraisa,
Right? And then there are many, many answers to the Achronim. I'll leave it for you to look at on your own. According to the Rambam, it's not a problem in the first place. Right? The Kohen doesn't have to be Moser L'Tzibur because his Shkolim are naturally Shkolim. He's Potter. But just because you're putter doesn't mean you can't choose to participate if you want to. Okay, this is a classic kolotar kulach. What's the difference? It's like soul versus mufka, right? Famous Russian makos. And are you putter from a mitzvah versus are you are you mufka from a mitzvah? I mean, another classic example is many achronim say a woman can make brachas on lulav and an eved can't. Even though an eved is loyal to meisha. Why? Because a woman is, she has to choose role. She just putter from this. Well, she has Kedusha all the mitzvahs. She's part of this one. Well, an Eved had only partial Kedusha and never got the Kedusha of this mitzvah in the first place. Okay, so I thought that's how you could alum this answer. I thought that's how you could answer for the Rambam. If anyone has other ideas, feel free. If you want to look at Echronim, how they explain how a Katan could be Moser or anything. If a Katan can't make a Kenyan, Ayin Shum in that Abne Milum, who summarized a lot of Dales. But according to this, it's very simple. according to this, it's very simple.
If I'm not achieving that in the Suos, you can go back to the Zayin if you get. The same way we said by Kohanim, she can't eat it. Here, she's married. Part of it belongs to her husband, so on his list, you can bring it.
Okay, of course, single girls can also give shelter,
yeah,
so that's not going
to
get us very far. Okay, we didn't get back to the actual Erech and Yom yet. We'll have to continue with that, Amir Tashem, next time. I didn't get a chance to write up the Makoros yet, but if someone just wants to make a note, they can start. We can start with Tosfos de Ramaskel Velo on that Tosfos. there's a Shita Mekubetzes, and the Rambam in, here's, first set. Tosos de Ramaso below, Shita Mekubetzes, I think it's letter called Zion, if I'm not mistaken. The Rambam in Erechin, Perik Aleph, Halacha Chaf Aleph, Guchaf Gimel, and the Chedusha Gris. On the Gemara, right here, on that line of the Otzis Agoses. I think it's a rascal, Otzi it's a gosis, or low Otzi it's a gosis, or whatever. And then we're going to continue in the Gemara through the, through the fourth white line on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. To Gemara until Shura Harichava Harivit on Daf Dalet Amud Beis with Rashi and Tosfos. And then I'll email out the rest of the course to Mirza Hashem this evening. Okay.